The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, and we have a brand new live program for you today, one that kind of going to be centered around all of you guys. So ladies, those of you who are listening, you're going to get an insight to why your guys are maybe a little bit of grumpy and, you know, they're complaining about stuff and having to get up 5-6 times during the night, and maybe they're not performing the way they should. So you pay attention and you drag them in. This coming Wednesday, September 1st, will be our in-house presentation. What are we talking about? We're talking about prostate health. And I have a doc who is actually an expert in all this because it has to do with hormonal function. None other than my stand-in when I'm not here, Dr. Stephanie Pina, who's a doctor of naturopathic medicine. And we're going to be talking about just that. Guys, you know, that urinary frequency, that hormonal dump, that, you know, oh my God, it hurts like crazy, referring to my back, all kinds of things that are associated with that. Anyway, Dr. Pina, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I know I'm the interesting choice for this, but we've had this conversation that, yes, I am prepared to talk about prostate health, even though I don't have one. But it's something that I have to deal with, and I treat men just as much as women. So why not?
You know, actually, it's probably a better look at men's health from a female point of view. You know, when we talk about women, we talk about menopause and perimenopause and so forth. And guys forget that there's a transitional state that many of us go through, and it's called andropause. And that has to do with a lot of this. But, you know, guys end up with far more cancers today than they've ever had. And it's the relationship is to breast tissue, because genetically breast tissue and prostate tissue is the same. And they both have an affinity, if you will, an abnormal bad affinity to accumulate too much estrogens, and that's part of the problem. So we're going to get into a little bit of that in the program, but this coming Wednesday evening, the 1st of September, while the summer's almost done, gone, it's amazing how quickly it's gone through, but you're going to have the opportunity to listen to this amazingly brilliant lady. And when it relates to these specific things, guys, you're going to be able to actually fix some things. Dr. Pina, let's start with basics. You know, when it comes to prostate impairment, dysfunction, the inability to, you know, for that thing to work the way it's supposed to, that's a little gland that sits, you know, just underneath the bladder and you know, on top of the scrotum. How many guys actually suffer from this? What's the incidence nationwide?
Well, the incidence grows every single year. It seems kind of interesting that over 200,000 men will be diagnosed with some kind of prostate issue, whether that be prostate cancer or enlargement, otherwise known as BPH, every single year. And then it's the, you know, number one diagnosed cancer for men as well, too. And there are different reasons why that happens. And I think some of the times when we look at things from a holistic standpoint, we can try to make better sense than the conventional community can of why that starts to happen, why we're seeing an increase of prostate cancer, prostate disease and conditions. But there's a lot that the prostate does that we don't take into consideration how it affects the rest of the body. We're typically kind of looking at for one particular thing. And unfortunately, a lot of the time for men, it's a focus on prostate cancer in itself. And, you know, there are a lot of other things that can essentially go wrong with the prostate, but there are a lot of things that we can do for it as well too. So,
you know, it's interesting, you know, the prostate is something that guys don't even think about until they get older. And then all of a sudden they have urinary retention problems, or they have pain, or they have libido problems, and they start stacking and accumulating. And it used to be, you know, somebody would be in their late 50s and 60s and maybe a little bit earlier than that. But today we're seeing it much earlier. What's the incidence age-wise that we start noticing these today as it compared to years ago?
Well, they used to start testing about at age 50 and doing either a digital rectal exam or PSA testing, which most people are familiar with, although 54% of men off of a study that was done a couple of years ago didn't really understand what PSA did or, you know, if they should get it tested or not, or what their chances of having prostate were if they got a higher score with it. But what you're seeing now is typically higher risk men, such as those in the African Americans, also with family history of it, they're starting to test a little bit earlier. They're starting to try to find other ways to test. And if there is issues they suspect through their prostate cancer, they're kind of looking at different ways to basically visualize what's going on with the prostate instead of doing just biopsies. Which is nice because a lot of men, especially come into our office, are trying to avoid biopsies. You know, they don't really want to do that, so they're looking for other options. So the urology, you know, continuum tends to keep looking for other ways to test the prostate, but they're also starting to get a little bit more interested in the fact that the prostate health has to do a lot with aging health. It makes sense. If you're going to see more prostate cancer and prostate issues as we age, are we also seeing certain other healthcare issues also increase in men as they age? Is there a link? Is there a connection? And I would say we definitely see that.
Let's break this down so, you know, we can take guys from basics and take it all the way through. And I know this Wednesday evening you're going to cover this very in-depth and give people a whole lot of answers of what they can get done. But, you know, a woman typically goes and has estrogen titers done and some testosterone, which we all need, men, women, and children. It's a matter of quantity. But in this situation, when we're dealing with prostate health, traditionally, the guy goes to the doc and he measures something called PSA, which you just brought up a minute ago. That's prostate-specific antigen. But what they forget to measure so often, because, well, it's not necessary, in my opinion, it really is free PSA. But let's start with, you know, so people understand the playing field. What is PSA?
Well, PSA is a protein that's released by the prostate gland itself. There's some little bit of debate that there's also some other areas like in the kidneys that release just a little bit enough of it, but it's primarily coming from the prostate gland itself. So if you have more tissue in the prostate gland, it's enlarged, you have the ability to produce more PSA. And it shouldn't necessarily a large percentage of it end up in your bloodstream, but it can be in there, and that's where they measure it. So it's a blood test. It's not a urine test. It's a blood test. And what's amazing is that you can break that down into a lot of different things because just like a lot of hormones, you can have bind versions of it. So it hooks onto another protein or a fat to get around the bloodstream, or you can have a free version like you were just mentioning. And that is basically when it's kind of floating around in the wind. And you don't necessarily want a lot of free protein, free PSA because it's not attached to anything. So it's kind of the troublemaker. Just like when we look at hormone levels and we look at testosterone and just like cholesterol, there's a good and the bad side of everything. So each one of these can kind of give us an interesting idea about what's going on with the prostate. But there are some issues with testing PSA too. It's not as specific as it could be. So someone who has a high PSA test or even a low one may or may not necessarily say they have prostate cancer, they have enlargement, but the idea is the more tissue that there, the more that it can produce. The older men get, the more they also produce. There are different age ranges as well as far as what a normal PSA should be, so we have to take that into consideration.
So here's my question to you, and I got a couple of them, and there's guys going to be out there. Just because I'm getting older, does that mean that that elevated level of PSA is normal?
Good question. And so it could be yes and no. And that's why there's not just we don't just use PSA to look at. We have to look at other factors. Unfortunately, PSA has been what we've gotten most of the hype with. So an examination, also looking at other kind of blood tests as well too, looking at general health. But we also have to make sure that as we age, some of the other factors such as circulation, our adrenal functions, our hormone functions are not playing a part into it. So where they used to do so much more PSA testing than they did for screening, what they were doing is they were diagnosing too many men with prostate issues, and it was leading to unnecessary treatments. So they started cutting back on how much they were treating and using PSA as a risk factor. But at the same time, as you age, you're also seeing more and more prostate cancer be present, but it may be at a lesser degree since prostate cancer grows very slowly in most cases. So the incidence of a male dying with prostate cancer is possibly potentially high, but it may not be doing what other more aggressive tumors and cancers could do as well, too.
You know, there's a good friend of mine who's a urologist, and the guy's pretty sharp. He's not in our area. He lives out on the other end of the country. And he was saying, you know, for most men, prostate cancers come and go all the time. And I said, well, yeah, but it depends on their health and what their exposures are and the like. And he said, you know, most guys, and as you said, that prostate cancers grow very slowly in most cases, will die from something else before they die from the prostate cancer. However, there are some very aggressive prostate cancers, and those are the ones that are, you know, but back in the day, and obviously I've got a few years in practice longer than you've been around, but one of the things that was first used to measure the potential for prostate cancers and fatality, it was something called acid phosphatase. And it would show up when the cancer would break through the capsule, if you will, within the prostate, and then would get in the circulation. At that point, they knew it had metastasized, and they would start looking. And one of the areas it would go to would be the spine, particularly the low back first before anything else. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so it's interesting to see how different tests have kind of developed. The same thing kind of goes with some of the imaging now. So when men come in and they kind of really are not looking for doing a biopsy, they may be able to use an MRI. They may be able to use a transrectal ultrasound. And so there's other ways of kind of starting to grade really what's going on and seeing if there's an issue there to begin with, because PSA can also be elevated when we have prostatitis, when there's an infection of the prostate. We have to think about there's other reasons why the prostate gets inflamed as well, too. So it's a little trickier than just going in and having a PSA done all the time. We could run one in the labs here in the office, or a lot of people will do it through primary care without even getting to urology just because they have urinary symptoms. That's the main thing that drives men in to the office. It's not they're going, okay, I'm 50, I need my PSA test. It might be all the urinary issues like hesitancy and urgency that tends to come up, and they start going, this is just not right. It's not comfortable. And unfortunately, a lot of the medications that are given to them really just address the urgency issues and the hesitation, but it's not looking at how's the gland affected itself.
You know, the biggest problem that we see is what I led into the program with, is that it's the accumulation of estrogens within the prostate because of its receptor availability, if you will. Breast tissue. So we have estrogens that are attracted to the prostate, and particularly things like estradiol and so forth. And they block the production of spermatogenesis, which the sperm formation, which decreases testosterone level, which it kind of a vicious loop increases the susceptibility to estrogens. Why, and I want to get into it more in the second part of the program, but why are we seeing so many estrogens, you know, in our environment today? Is it because men are producing them? Or is it because it is environmental? And then, you know, we only have a couple of seconds and then we're going to have to go for the break.
Right. It's a little bit of both, I think, too, because I think we definitely have more exposures from anything between the pesticides and the xenoestrogens and things we get exposed to in our foods. But also, how are we eating the foods and breaking them down? Are there things that are kind of congesting up the liver as well? So that way, when we're converting estrogens and testosterones, that they can be converted properly and dumped properly when we're done with them, not hang around and basically go into the prostate and create some of the issues as well. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to get into why this prostate, when it's swollen and so forth, can cause so many symptomatic presentations for men, because most guys don't even realize the slow, subtle presentation. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine. We'll be right back in a couple of seconds.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We have a very interesting program today, one that is being delivered by somebody you wouldn't expect to have this whole topic delivered. We're talking about prostate health for men. And ladies, as I said earlier, this is something you need to pay attention to, because if your guys are complaining of a symptom process that has anything to do with this, it's called heads up time, and we're going to get into that. But more importantly, in the second half of the program, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, why all of this stuff is very preventable if you're taking the right steps. This has to do with not only environmental exposures, it has to do with lifestyle, it has to do with ignorance, if you will, meaning that we're buying into the wrong applications relative to treatment. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. Dr. Pina, welcome back. Let's get into this a little bit deeper relative to how this prostate gland can cause a whole range of symptoms. And we have a short segment right now before we get into the next half of the program. What are the things that would present a red flag? Say, hey, there's a problem. And it may not be urinary retention. It might be other things. What do guys have to look out for?
Well, the good thing is that urinary issues tend to be the first thing. So they kind of know if they're waking up at night a little more frequently than they should, although that can be due to other metabolic issues as well, too, that you want to investigate. We'll be going over that in a lecture. And then one of the main things, too, is you can be looking for things such as blood in the urine. Not a good thing. You can look for any kind of lower back pain. It doesn't necessarily have to radiate down into the scrotum or into the penis or into the rectum, but lower back pain can be another symptom that something's going on. And because if you think about it, when we're talking about urinary issues, we have to include the bladder and the kidneys as well. You're also looking at that inability to urinate with full stream or have that feeling like your bladder is still full after you're done. The other thing, too, and one of the other things that the prostate actually does because of its location is that it works with ejaculation. It kind of thins out sperm production as well, too. So there can be sexual dysfunction. If a lot of my fertility patients, when they come in, men usually have to get a sperm analysis done, and they'll look at volume and they'll look at the amount of fluid that's actually in there. So if it's decreased and it's an older man, male patient, you really need to make sure that there's nothing going on with the prostate gland as well, too. I always look for a history of any kind of chronic infections as well, too, because prostatitis can kind of get in the way and should be treated. The good thing is there's things you can do with antibiotics and without antibiotics, but what you want to make sure is that there's not just a chronic infection that's going to lead to additional issues as well with the prostate. And then essentially also, like I said, sexual health is part of what the prostate gland is supposed to do. So any changes in libido and sexual appetite can be part of it as well, even though we start looking at much more of the male hormone profiles and panels at the same time, too. So, you know, it's always interesting when I think about men coming into the office. A lot of the times they're not the ones that necessarily bring themselves into the office. It's their wives and, you know, they're being pushed into the office. So when they do show up, you know, it's enough of an issue now. So sometimes you don't need to put out the list of what's going wrong for them to say, okay, there's a problem, and we need to talk about it, and this is the way it goes. So it may not necessarily always be what we think it's going to be. At the same time, too, I mean, when you think about just men's health in general, we have to look at all aspects of it, including mental health as well, too, because clearly urination and sexual health has a lot to do with mental health as well for men.
Absolutely. You know, this is a situation where guys, you know, they get lost because they think that they're impervious to any kind of problems that might be there until it begins to affect, we'll call it their manhood, their ability to perform well, or they're having to get up multiple times a night, or they're going through the same transitional pieces that women go through where, you know, they have hot and cold flashes, if you will, at nighttime. That often has a lot to do with that. And it's accumulation, as we began to touch on earlier, with estrogen formations in the body and the body not being able to handle this abnormal hormonal pattern and detoxify it and get rid of it. So it begins to accumulate. And then obviously then we have tissue sensitivity and we can end up with degradation, but also cancers. And that's the critical piece. There's a nutrient platform that is necessary for good prostate function. And the good news is that so much of this can be resolved naturally. And, you know, you're the expert at it. You're the one that deals with this both on both sides of the platform. But guys, this is an important issue and is one that shouldn't be ignored, but preventatively, and that's a couple of things I want to talk to you about when we get back in the second half of the program. There's a whole lot that can be done. And you want to make sure this doesn't happen to you because it's not fun and it's not one that any of you really want to go through until it's too late. And the problem is, even at the end stages, and many of you have had surgery, many of you have had other treatments, there's still things that you have to be aware of because it can affect other tissues. We're coming up to a break. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, she'll be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, September the 1st. At 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. We're at the in Fairfax, right off the National Capital Beltway, within a half a mile. Please join us, and we'll give you instructions on how to make that happen. Don't go away. We're coming up for a short break, and we have a whole lot more information for you.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and we have a very fascinating program from a couple of aspects, because it's a condition we're talking about that guys like to play ostrich with, meaning put their head in the sand and not pay attention to it. And then they get to the place where the symptoms get so ramped up, and or their significant other, their wife, their girlfriends, whatever, begin to say, you know, it's time, you got to do something about it because you're not who you used to be and you're complaining way too much. And the grouchiness and the grumpiness and everything of that nature begins to, you know, go away. What are we talking about? We're talking about your prostate, guys, that little gland that sits on underneath your bladder on top of the scrotum and is part of the whole sexual reproduction thing, but more importantly, can cause all kinds of abnormal problems. Remember, we said early in the program that the prostate and breast tissue are genetically the same and they attract too much estrogens, particularly if those estrogens are not being metabolized. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, my step-in host when I'm not around. And so it was kind of funny. We were talking this week and I have to travel at some point. And, you know, we were going to do the program in a different way. And I said, I forgot that she was on. I said, Dr. Stephanie, I said, I'm going to be away. And would you like to do the program for me? She says, who am I going to do? Interview myself? And I said, oh, that's right. You're on this weekend. So we're here together and doing the program for you as we always do. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. Dr. Stephanie is a doctor of naturopathic medicine, as many of you already know. She's brilliant. She's amazing. And this is an area that she has tremendous insight because of her background in hormonal reproduction. And you need to really pay attention. Guys, this program is for you. You know, Dr. Stephanie, years ago, and we're talking about a long time ago, I wrote a paper. It's called Zinc and the Prostate Gland. And I researched it for about a year, and I did took a lot of the data from the World Health Organization and research that they did in the Middle East. And what they found in this particular research is that guys who were suffering from benign hypertrophy of the prostate had something very interesting almost across the board, and they had a zinc deficiency. Now, the zinc we've heard about a lot this last year and a half because of COVID, and we know that we needed to bring up immunological function, but it hits so many different systems. 50% of the dry weight of the prostate is zinc, and most people don't realize that. So as we get older, if you will, because we're stressing out, we need zinc. Neurologically, we need zinc. Immunologically, we need zinc. So the body is constantly depleting the stores, and we're not getting enough of it. How often do you see that being true today, back, you know, and compared to the information they found years ago?
I think the same is still just as present. And like I said, because of what's been going on immunologically in the last year, it's interesting because more and more people are going on to zinc, which is funny because also they sometimes with zinc, the higher, the better dose. But then even with the prostate gland, even though it's mostly made of it, it's interesting because there are sometimes when too much is too much of a good. So we have to balance it from the immune system, but then also we have to balance it to make sure that we're not promoting increased growth as well, too, especially in the prostate gland. But we see this quite a bit, and like you're mentioning how important zinc is, along with some other key nutrients throughout the body. The body uses stuff to protect it. It uses it to help out with its function and its physiological effect, zinc being one of them. Some of the other ones like magnesium and vitamin E and vitamin D and selenium, which are antioxidants and also work on the immune system as well too, are all key players in our immune health. But our immune health helps with regular normal functioning. And what the prostates really do is almost doing regular normal functioning. You know, it's there for a purpose. And when we don't think about it and we kind of put it aside and kind of wait till symptoms happen, we have to wonder about, okay, am I depleting my body and some of these other key elements as well too. So we test it, you know, on every single patient that comes in. The first time they come in the door, we test zinc levels, you know, and it can be followed up multiple times and stuff too. So we don't see there being an excess of zinc out there, that's for sure. So definitely when we think of prostate health, you see zinc being a key portion player in it. And you'll see it in combinations with other things too, in order to synergize its effect as well.
You know, it's interesting that we set aside the impact of environment on organ systems and so forth. When I'm talking about environment, I'm talking about all the epigenetic applications, the stress levels, the dietary patterns, the electromagnetic fields, if you will. So that's a setup question, my friend. So based on, you know, what we're seeing with prostate health, and we're saying, okay, it's susceptible just like a woman is to different types of estrogenic metabolisms and so forth. These things can perpetuate the thing. So if you were going to say, here's a guy and this guy is more susceptible to potential problem with prostate function than this guy over here, what would that look like?
It could look absolutely normal, first of all, because I know it's scary, isn't it? You could look absolutely normal and have normal tests and think everything is fine, because a lot of prostate stuff comes out asymptomatically. They don't know that there's anything wrong. Just like one of the main things as far as any kind of treatment with active surveillance, and we can get into this, and this is the time that holistic medicine does its magic the most, because they're sitting there watching and waiting for other things to happen and going, well, why don't we make change during that time? It's because a lot of time if men are just kind of paying attention, they may not even notice that anything's going on. If they have an infection, they'll know.
Yeah, it hurts.
If they have, you know, right away, you're going to get it treated, right? If you have a cold, you know, it's the end of the world. Sorry, guys, but I've seen it happen. But but if you look at it, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that are slightly, you could look have the normal person. And that's what's tricky, is that why. That's why we don't test till a lot older, because we just consider it an age-related disease. We don't think about the prostate until we have to. So a lot of the times, you know, if you were going to say that there's a characteristic that you see, is that a lot of the hormones like to accumulate when we have excessive fatty tissue. So someone that may be overweight, that maybe has a little bit of insulin resistance, potentially patients who have diabetes or pre-diabetic type of syndromes. When you see more of the effect of estrogens on men, whether they're getting it somehow externally through a medication or even during treatment like the Lupron treatment, which some men get for prostate issues, or they're just getting it from the environment and they're not converting it properly, you may see the development of breast tissue, like I said, that connection between the breast and the prostate. So there's a lot of different things that you see, but it's not always as obvious. If there was one signal and your button went off, then that make it way too easy. Medicine doesn't work that easy. It's all about looking at everything.
So here's the situation, and the things that most people don't realize, particularly in today's environment, you touched upon it. All the electromagnetic signaling around us are xenoestrogenics, and they have the same impact on the body as a free-floating estrogen, or one that you would inject in your body. But between our computers and our cell phones and our cars and the 5G networks and so forth, all of those have estrogenic impact on the body, both breast tissue, by the way, and prostate tissue. So we have guys that are sitting around and they carry their cell phones either against their heart, which anytime, even if I'm in an elevator, I'll take it out of their pocket and say, do me a favor, put it in your back pocket. But even when it's in the front, they're carrying it in their front pockets close to the prostate gland. These are fundamentally dangerous, if you will, and we don't think about that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen that on the fertility side you know, they've looked at, you know, heat affecting, heat in the testicles affecting essentially sperm development. But you see this also, there was a, I believe, an Australian study where they were looking at cell phone usage in the front pocket, and it was able to decrease sperm numbers and function and volume and stuff too. So it's amazing. Unfortunately, environmental medicine is a huge topic in amongst itself. And I think we've done numerous talks in the office on this as well too. And there's always seems to be a new thing that's coming out. But if we can avoid as much as we can and kind of identify where we might be getting some of these exposures and the small things that we might be able to do about it, it's only going to help the biology inside if we can think about the what's going on the outside of the body.
You know, here's an interesting thing. Most urologists, when guys go to their doc, fail to do, in my opinion, certain testing. And one of the things that they need to run is estrogen titers, and particularly running estradiol and, you know, estrones and so forth. And there's subfractions of estrogens that we need to know about. But they just run, as we talked about in the first part of the program, they're running prostate specific antigens and maybe they'll run a free PSA. But in your world, you have to subfraction all of those hormones out, and particularly those. How does that have an impact? Why should those be done when you're dealing with male health?
Well, we know, and I think most men kind of understand the idea of what testosterone does to their body. If not, as they age, they kind of start to understand what testosterone or the lack of it does to their body. So they are not, and well, let's put it this way. Men will come in asking about their testosterone levels quite often. But when they think about estrogen, that's the female hormone. That has nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, estrogen can convert over to testosterone and to another version of testosterone, which is kind of the ugly testosterone, which causes some of these issues. It's like men's health. So there's a lot of times when you can go and look at these receptors and how much of it's being produced in the body and how much is being released in the body that you might be able to look at from blood levels or saliva or urine levels to kind of see, is there an underlying issue already starting to happen before symptoms show up? Is there an underlying issue that's already happening with symptoms showing up? But another time that we have to think about this is we talk about adrenal health and the effect that stress has on the body. And when we think about the adrenals are part of that connection that helps keep hormones in balance and keep too much, keeps hopefully less cortisol from being produced. But if estrogen is being produced in the male body in too high of a levels, it's going to kind of keep producing it if we don't stop it. So we have to look at some of these other levels, whether they're getting treatment or not. But it's also just part of all overall men's health as well, too, because estrogen does play a huge part of it. And there's multiple other ones. It's not just a female hormone.
Now, interesting situation with guys. You got to have a little bit of estrogen in your body. The problem that we're talking about is when estrogen levels start cranking up, or estrogen-like signaling, if you will, as we talked about from the electromagnetic fields around you. And so many of our foods as well are loaded with estrogenics. And because of the mutations and the hybridizations and so forth. And once those things get into your body, and particularly the exposures of glycophosphates, which are going to change the signaling patterns. But Dr. Pina is going to get into that this Wednesday evening. Guys, you really need to join us. Ladies, drag them in here. You need to come in with them and make sure that they're here. But this Wednesday evening, September the 1st, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, we're going to get into it in detail. And there's none other. There's nobody better than Dr. Stephanie Pina to really go through this. She knows this information intimately and can really shed a very easy look at how you can fix it. And that's the most important situation. And she's going to get into that in detail. You know, wouldn't it be nice not to have surgery or to have a TERP procedure done or something of that nature where, you know, everything seems to be breaking down. There's an inflammatory cascade, you know, that's around the prostate. You're not producing the sperm. You know, we're seeing guys today that, you know, the sperm production of a guy today who is in their 30s is what it was in the 50s for a guy who is 60, 65 years old. There's something going on here. And if you'd like to find out more about that this Wednesday evening, all you have to do is go to rosellecare.com, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rosellecare.com, and register for the class, and we'll confirm with you, or simply call the office, 703-698-7117 and tell our staff that you'd like to be there. I promise you, you're going to walk away with enough information to make a difference. But treatment-wise, this doctor, Dr. Stephanie Pina, can help you and really turn it around for you. Dr. Stephanie, as you know, is a doctor in naturopathic medicine, and she's amazing when it comes to this type of information. Dr. Stephanie, we got a couple minutes before we have to break, but let's talk a little bit more about this estrogen impact that guys obviously are being exposed to and the slow impact that it has on the body.
Yeah, the interesting thing is when we get exposed to something like that, men or female, like, you know, we have ways of kind of detoxing some of that out of the body. Like, just like if we get a cold or a flu or infection, we have an immune system that kind of breaks it down and is supposed to take care of it. But if those detox systems of the liver and our even our normal elimination system, like urination and our bowels, aren't moving the way they can, we can't eliminate what we can't eliminate. So what do? We reabsorb it. And where does it like to go? It's a fatty substance, so it likes to go back to the fat tissue. So some of the real basic things that we have to think about is how do we get the body moving to help affect some of that fat tissue? How do we get the bowels moving? How is urination? If it's already an issue to begin with, we're probably not clearing out some of the medications that are creating issues, some of the toxins that are creating issues. So we have symptoms, but we can't even use our own elimination process to get out some of this stuff too. So the good thing is where I was fortunate enough to do some of the training in naturopathic school and working with a radiation oncologist who were working with men who were already diagnosed with cancer and already going through a treatment. He was very open to holistic medicine. So I learned a lot from him on the conventional side, but we were talking with men who were in active surveillance that they were basically put in this watch and wait program. So that's the perfect time for things to happen and be done. But it doesn't mean that if someone does decide that surgery is what they have to go through or chemotherapy or different types of radiation that's out there now, there's also a lot of different things that can be done to help balance out the body as well too, because as they're irradiating or taking out tissues, what they're not thinking about is the rest of the health around that tissue.
We're coming up to a break. This Wednesday evening, September 1, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your presenter. Guys, listen, don't let this opportunity slide by, because you can get rid of a lot of these problems naturally without medical intervention. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. We have a whole lot more we want to give you before we say, you know, we'll see you next week. But, you know, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a very short moment or two.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. And those of you out in the West Coast, you know the drill. You know what the time frames are. And as always, those of you who find us from the military, men and women in service, first of all, thank you very much for what you do, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be who we are. We appreciate that, and we appreciate and love you. But, you know, whatever we can do to help you, when you reach out to us and you send us a note, we'll get back to you as quickly as we possibly can. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine. The topic we're talking about is prostate health in guys. And ladies, as I said earlier, drag these guys in this Wednesday evening, September the 1, at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, and find out how you can fix these problems, everything from I can't urinate to my libido's gone to I'm accumulating fat, my breast tissue's getting too big. I'm a man. This is not supposed to be happening. Dr. Pina, what are you going to be doing Wednesday night?
Well, you're telling them I got a lot to cover, that's for sure. Yes, we're going to cover that. but we're going to also cover some of the basics too, because the more we understand the basic anatomy, physiology, and where the heck the prostate is and what does it do, the more we can understand how its growth or abnormal growth can eventually give some of these signs and symptoms away. And essentially, what do we think of outside the box than just your normal primary care visit and urology visit, which kind of looks at your overall health? Because that's what helps design the types of treatments that we need in holistic medicine, is looking at overall health as this part of it, not just the prostate by itself. So when we understand a little bit more what's going on, we can understand why we see the options in the conventional side that we do. But then we can also kind of come up with an idea of what to do with everything holistically. And one of the key things that I think ends up happening is we get all this information, whether it's on social media or the radio or TV and stuff that says, here's my newest and greatest product. We don't understand why it's the newest and greatest product, but we see recommendations that said, this is what you need. This is going to cure everything. And so many of us go out there and kind of don't know what we're getting into. So one of the key things is kind of going from a more natural standpoint, what do we do to optimize prostate health, and what do we do to optimize and understand what's going on so we have a better idea and that men and women can take a more active role in their own healthcare?
You know, it's interesting. One thing that I want to add into this, we talked a little bit about breast cancer, and everybody thinks, well, it's got to be women. And years ago, that was true. It was unheard of, if you will, for a guy to end up with breast cancer. But today, depending on the author that you look at, up to 5% of all breast cancers are male. And simply because of the exposures to the estrogens environmentally, the inability of the body to break estrogenics down and get rid of them. So they begin to accumulate, as you say, in fat tissue, and the breast tissue is fat tissue. But because of the increased levels of estrogens in the body, we're accumulating more fat and the body can't get rid of it.
Well, and what's also interesting, too, is there's more information, obviously, when it comes to genetic factors and looking at genes and their influences on different types of conditions. And we always look at it from an epigenetic standpoint, saying, okay, if the genes are turned on, what is the environment doing to them too? But there's more information that one of the genes that they're looking at for prostate cancer is the BRCA2 gene, which BRCA1 and BRCA2 is what we typically see with breast cancer and uterine cancer and stuff. So there's already this hormonal connection that needs to be investigated further, and what do we do with it? So yeah, there's definitely some stuff that's going to cross over between female reproductive health and men reproductive health. And the good things is sometimes, you know, you're seeing those crossovers work well with different types of nutritional patterns as well.
You know, unfortunately, we're coming up to that part of the program where we're going to have to say, you know, we'll see you next week. But join us this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing. Join Dr. Stephanie and really find out, guys, what you can do about it. Ladies, drag them in there. Join them, and you can really put a natural cure to so much of what's really going on. There's nobody better than this doctor that we're talking about now. We're coming up to that place where I want to remind you, we do what we do for one reason only, and simply because of this. We love you, and you deserve it. See you next week. Bye.